You can start it.
Hey, man. Whoa. Someone else is here.
Shoot, dude. How'd you get there?
Hey, this is a special episode of This Is Last Night.
It's the 200th episode.
Our 200th episode. That's a power move.
I planned this as soon as I saw the episode air. I was like, immediately.
That is such a power move.
I hate that so much. We do have a guest today.
Yeah, hello. There's another voice in your ears today. It's not just us.
That was your cue to say something.
Hi, hello.
There's another voice in your ears today.
I mean, I'm supposed to introduce myself, I guess.
No, we'll intro you.
We'll intro you. Abigail.
Do you remember her name? Oh, Abigail.
It's the one person. The one person he remembers. Have we confirmed that this is the sandwich guy?
This is not the sandwich guy. Wait, if you thought this was the sandwich guy the whole time, we were in the, not the sandwich guy. That's a sincere question.
No, we definitely did not get that.
He stole $3 billion in Bitcoin, and then he opened a sandwich restaurant.
Things I learned last night.
Abigail is one of our investors. She was a long part of our seed round.
Long time listener, long time investor.
Yeah. She blackmailed us into bringing her on the podcast.
No.
Yeah.
I knew the most about you of everyone in the Patreon Discord.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
I won the March Madness.
She goes, I fought my way here, is what she says.
It's almost November.
Yeah, we're just making good.
We're glad to be here.
We're making good on a promise we made 4 years ago. I'm saying that, you won the trivia thing because
I was very proud of myself because the only ones I got wrong were like YouTube algorithm questions. And I was like, I don't know which video did better.
What questions did you put in there?
Yeah, they were pretty technical.
But like the ones about your guys' friendship.
Why did you do that?
The ones about like how long you've known each other and all of that. I got all of those right.
Nice.
You put in which video has more views?
I wanted to make it hard.
I think there were like two or three of those, and those are the only ones I got wrong.
Wow.
I was trying to make it challenging.
Because for anybody who's new, what we did was we did Till and Madness, which was March Madness. We did best episodes. We did brackets. And then you and who did you have to face off against?
Lydia.
That's
right. Why I made it so hard.
Because somebody's cousin.
Lydia is married to a dude I grew up with.
Oh, see?
And so I was like, that's an unfair advantage. So I had to make it hard.
She got some of the questions wrong about you guys.
It's true.
Yeah.
And
just guessed some of the...
She's a fake fan.
She knew the YouTube...
Fake friend.
I don't know. But I will say...
She's not real.
It was a good thing that like the March Madness thing reset.
Yeah.
Because we were another round in. And I think some of the guesses, if we had gone with the original bracket, I may not have won.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's
because
a good thing we messed that up.
I don't remember who won, but I think... Because Timothy Dexter is still like my favorite episode.
It's a good one.
It was the live show.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And so
you don't like it because we mentioned you in it.
You to know that was my roommate. She was the one snort laughing.
Oh, you took the blame for it.
You took the fall.
I mean, I ended up snort laughing after that.
Oh, okay,
because
good.
It was so funny.
If we got you after.
Yeah. No, wow. Because I tell people that all the time. I'm like, the guy he just picked randomly. He was like, oh, let's put cats on a ship. And they ended up having a giant rat problem. Like and then he made a statue of himself. And
I love that guy.
Lots of
faked
statues.
His death.
That, that was a good episode.
Yeah, that was. And speaking of good episodes, we got a good one here today. This is our 200th episode celebration. It's a bonanza. Our phones are live. Feel free to call in at any time.
Yeah, we're giving money to the Children's Medical Hospital if you want to dial in and... give us a donation. We'll be up all night. It's a telethon event. So
yeah.
I didn't sign
but
up for
this,
that.
This episode doesn't come out
for a couple weeks, so we got to keep going until it comes out.
Until the phone calls come in.
I don't know if you knew that was the plan.
No.
Yeah, you can't leave.
And we're not catering, so me and Tim have underneath this table.
At least
have
there's three of us. And we
bags of survival food. What's that?
I said, at least there's three of us. We can sleep in shifts.
Yeah, that's true.
That's actually a really good idea. Yeah.
Well, let's go first.
Alex can't sleep, though. Anyways, have either of you ever heard of Jimmy Zhang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
the sandwich place.
No, please say that again, though.
Jimmy Zhang.
Okay. Jimmy Zhang.
Jimmy Zhang.
Jimmy Zhang.
He's pronouncing it French.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the sandwich place. It's
is
the
it?
Yeah. They do.
They offer
fast.
Offer free
Freaky
smells.
Fast. Free smells. It, old
well, that's,
bread.
That's it's a side effect of it being so fast, like because they're on the move.
Jimmy Zhang. Oh, that's stupid. I like it. Who's Jimmy Zhang?
Jimmy Zhang is a significant person. He recently was arrested for one of the highest value Bitcoin heists ever.
Heisted,
yeah.
How do you heist?
It's like a digital wallet, and you steal out of the digital wallet.
Yeah, but how did you do? Like, how is that a heist, though?
Well, you go into
it's still stealing, even though Bitcoin doesn't exist.
Yeah, you go into a bank and you wear a clown mask, and you say, "Everybody, get on the ground!" And then you say, "Who here has bitcoins?"
I'm thinking like you got to like find somebody who's got a Bitcoin wallet, hold them at gunpoint, and say, "Give me your password." Like that's got to be.
They can't be hacked. I mean,
they can. Is that a heist or is that a hack?
Oh, that's fair.
I mean, it's the same thing. That's a fair. Hack and a heist.
But I don't know. I feel like if you're threatening somebody to give you all your money, isn't that
entrapment?
No.
It's theft either way. Theft is the term. Yeah.
True, but I mean.
Hack and heist sounds like a cool bar.
I think what makes a theft a heist is a plan. Like it's okay. A well thought out plan, which in retrospect, sure. I don't know if this guy had that. So this might've just been a theft.
But he's in jail.
Maybe it's the value that makes it a heist. Cause $3 billion, a lot
of dollars.
That's
pretty high.
That's like state Bitcoin.
I hate you for that. Okay. Let's tell the story. Here's sure. Jimmy Zhang. Jimmy Zhang grew up in Massachusetts, I believe. That's not
not confirmed
part of the story. Where he's from isn't super important. Here, let's check Wikipedia real quick.
Nah, don't worry about it. Keep going.
Okay, whatever. So grew up in Massachusetts. Was kind of a. Have you ever thought about? Never mind. He was just kind of a.
I want to know if I've thought about that thing.
Oh yeah, I have.
No, have you just ever thought about like? Mm-hmm. I saw this online the other day, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
the Roman Empire,
close. How well? Like, if you were a time traveler, you time traveled back to say the 80s, you got the neighborhood bully, and sent him to high school today. Do you think they'd be a successful bully today? Like, could they bully today?
Wait.
An 80s bully bully today?
Wait. You're saying.
You're asking if the insults would translate to modern culture.
I'm not so much asking
you
if they translate.
You go get the bully.
Yeah.
You travel time with them.
Say, okay, so things are different.
And then put them in a school, and what do you tell them? You go, hey, you're going to bully here.
Let's see you bully.
How and they go around leather jacket, and they're just like freaking shoving people in lockers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Hey, nerd.
And you want to know if that was still... No, because the bullies are more submersive now.
Yeah, I was.
They don't call you a nerd. They call you a fascist. They don't call, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not like...
That's what I'm saying.
Is that fair?
I mean,
I don't think I think Gen Z is borderline impervious to bullies. Cyber bullies, no.
Well, because someone's like hey, nerd, bullies? Someone will go, you need to check your insecurities.
Exactly.
Like, they're worse than the bully is.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They go, wow, that's really.
Well, then would the bully just Aries turn move? Into a Gen Zer? They would just adapt that.
How adaptable do we think bullies are, though? Because I feel like 80s bullies are the same person today.
Yeah.
I just started watching Stranger Things for the first time. And
wow.
Yeah, that was like a wake-up call to how bad the 80s were. And then I was like, oh, that generation of kids had to
Yeah, because they were
flip.
Just allowed to ride on bikes and fight monsters. And their parents were just at home doing other. They're like, you know, yeah. Of course those
I'm
kids turned out.
Not talking about the creep. I've only seen one episode, so don't spoil anything. But I'm talking about like...
Don't spoil it. It's been out for almost a decade. What do you mean don't spoil
the smoking
it?
Smoking.
Do you know how Titanic ends? I don't want
to
ruin
it. I've
never
seen Titanic.
I don't want... Well,
whoa.
Do you know how it ends?
It's a surprise.
You're in for a twist, okay? Because like, I thought I was watching a cute little cruise story. And then the unsinkable happens.
The unsinkable. Oh, gosh. Have you seen the Gen Z video of Titanic unsinkable. Where everybody gets upset that the old lady from the movie wasn't a real person on the Titanic?
Yeah,
it's like, good. What is this? I thought this was real. So.
And this is what I'm saying. Maybe that bully would do well because like.
He has a lot of ammo.
There's a lot of stuff to bully the kids for. But do you, are you saying
he
would people.
Understand.
Would people react this? See,
I think what you said is be like, well, check your security. Like,
yeah,
I feel
whoa,
like they
man.
Would respond with something too
worse.
Intellectual for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
then
kids are just different.
Would it
today.
Turn to violence after that?
Yeah. He's probably
question.
Still beat him up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
he
still
probably,
bullying.
Yeah. He's probably still tougher than him.
Why? Anyway. Why were you thinking about this?
Oh, sometimes I just think about bullies.
Okay. When I'm burying these bees in my backyard,
I got bees to bury. I got
bees to bury, baby.
No, okay. So, Jimmy, the reason I brought that up is Jimmy was bullied as a kid.
Okay.
Didn't have a lot of friends, was kind of a bit of a loner. And also had like kind of a negative family life. Like, wasn't.
Well, I guess like if that bully shows up at the school and says something like, you're a nerd. And someone would go, hey, man, the 80s called. They want your insults back. He's like, did they call? Can they I go call. Back?
Can I go back? Please let me go back.
I gotta go back.
Do you know how to get back?
Call my mom.
That would suck to be time traveled. And then, because be time traveled and then thrown back into a high school. I'd be more mad at that.
He's still in high school at the time that
he is a high schooler.
Out of time, right?
Oh, so, okay.
It's just a different high school.
Yeah, in a different time.
I think bullies still exist. Yeah, we should do like
what? Isn't that Back to the Future? Doesn't Biff at some point go to a different time and he's still a bully?
That's true.
Yeah. He's just old.
Maybe we can Mortal Kombat some bullies. You know what I'm saying?
Like who had the tougher bullies? Anyway. The 80s or the 20s?
So he's bullied a lot growing up by a time-traveled bully.
Yeah, he's getting bullied by this time traveler. And it was so bad that his parents got a divorce.
Dude, can you believe what he did to that kid last week? He put him in a trash can. He stuffed him in a locker. And then he made his parents get divorced. When he sit down with his mom, he goes, Sandra, are you really sure that you made the right decision? You're planting seeds of doubt? What do you mean? His parents got divorced because of how bad he was bullied. Or were the parents like, dude, our kid's such a wuss, dude. He's crying every day.
Yeah, I can't take this. I can't see you anymore. I can't stand to look at you.
This is your fault.
He's such a wuss and I hate you for it.
I feel bad for this kid already.
The parents got divorced for different reasons. I think it might have been the bully. I don't know. We don't have any documentation on that, so it's not the bully.
Okay.
We don't know he wasn't a time traveler. We can't prove that.
We can't prove any of this.
Okay.
So he had a negative upbringing, and but he was a kid who, like a lot of kids who were bullied. This is the 90s. I keep saying 80s because I feel like 80s bullies are like prolific. Like that was the high era of bullies.
Yeah. 90s bullies took it to a whole new level, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know where I was going with that? Where were you going with that?
I don't know where you were going with that.
All right.
Do you know where I was going with that?
I think so.
90s bullies were the worst. So he was bullied in the 90s. And like a lot of kids who got bullied, he threw himself into his computer and started learning a lot about coding and all this different stuff. Taught himself a bunch of different languages.
Kids that are bullied now end up listening to weird podcasts.
That's true.
Welcome.
As a kid of the 90s. have we confirmed that this is the sandwich guy?
This is not the sandwich guy. Wait, if you thought this was the sandwich guy the whole time, it's not the sandwich guy. Is that a sincere question?
No, you definitely did not get that.
He stole $3 billion in Bitcoin and then he opened a sandwich restaurant.
You're going to believe this, dude.
I forgot about that.
The Big Italian is actually named after his high school bully. Oh, yeah, the Big Italian.
No, I forgot we talked about the Bitcoin high. This is such a part. I've had decaf coffee today. I have had zero caffeine.
Oh no.
That's
leaving. We come to this caffeinated.
Jimmy John was bullied though.
He was, yeah. You don't do that without getting bullied.
Sandwiches?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Fred DeLuca from Subway, man.
Bullied. Yeah, we're never gonna have a good
sandwich.
At least
he was when
again.
I worked there.
In the 90s.
I'm a sandwich artist bullying the CEO.
Bullying the CEO of Subway.
I call him every day and I go, hey, listen, I just made up this new sandwich.
Good morning, sandwich boy.
Hey, bread boy. All right.
I just got done prepping all these meats. You're such a loser.
I called your mom last night.
She says she's leaving. She's leaving.
Oh, no.
I love the idea of a bully who's going that far.
Dude, that's a crazy.
We gotta tear this family apart.
Oh, dude. Like, bro, just shove me in the locker. Leave my parents out of this.
Just give me a swirly. Please. Please give me a swirly instead.
All right, you see what Tim's saying. You see why we're here, right?
Yes.
All right.
So Jimmy.
You want to finish that? You can have the rest of it.
No.
I would never come between Tim and his caffeine.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
He started coding.
Yeah. So he started coding and he got a scholarship. And he thought that that was going to change his life to Georgia.
Okay.
He thought that that was going to change his.
From Massachusetts down to Georgia.
Yeah. And he thought that was going to change his relationship with his parents. He thought they were going to finally be proud of him for once.
Sure.
They weren't. And
what
so,
year is this now?
98? I believe like 2008.
Oh, pretty later.
Yeah. and so he goes to college, Athens, Georgia. What university is there? Georgia State?
It is the Bulldogs.
University
right?
of Georgia. Yeah, it's the Bulldogs. So, but are they Georgia State or University?
Georgia University.
Just the Georgia Bulldogs.
University of Georgia. The Dogs. It's the Dogs. University
of Georgia.
Yeah.
So he goes there and he studies computer science.
Okay.
And while he's there, this thing is happening in the internet called Bitcoin. But it's very early Bitcoin. It's like 2008.
Right.
And so he gets into it. He starts mining and he's like, oh, this is neat. And so he actually contributes some of the code to really early Bitcoin because it was open source at the time. And so he contributed a little bit of code to that. Technically speaking, was one of the founders of Bitcoin because of that. Not really.
How many founders of Bitcoin are there? If that's like how the level of entry.
Well, I don't think it was, maybe founder is too strong of a term, but it technically helped create Bitcoin.
Founding, contributing member.
Founding, contributing donor, fan.
That's what you were Bitcoin. To this show if you started listening so early.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you
that's
start?
That's true.
2017.
Or 18. Just or right 18. At the beginning.
When did we start?
2017.
What's the first episode you listened
Halloween.
To?
I started in order.
You started in
Halloween
order?
Halloween is the first episode.
We used to tell people to do that. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, we don't tell people to do that anymore.
We tell them to listen to the good episodes.
Yeah, we say listen we to say where we skip, got good at audio.
Skip a bunch of it.
Which is still also after we hired Alex, too. It took him some time to get good
there's
at
a,
this.
There's a review.
You realize if he leaves, then you know nothing to start over.
I know that's true.
Yeah.
You're going to bully him?
No. Yeah.
We bully him.
You bully his parents?
No. You better watch your family, bro.
Your parents' marriage is on the line.
I'm
going
to change your Christmas cards forever.
No, but we have a review. There's a review out there where someone recently, in like the last year or so, said something about our Springfield, Missouri episode. And they were like, can you guys... like stop laughing directly into the mics.
Oh.
And it's like, I mean, we do eventually in like 2 years. So like
this is something newer. Yeah. We get, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You should just go reply to that now and be like, okay, cool.
We did it.
Hey, by the way, we're good. I wish you could reply to reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we could.
Man, whatever.
Create your own.
Oh,
review.
Are you trying to tee up a thing right now?
IoT got, Abigail brought some reviews.
Why do you say your name like that?
Like what?
Abigail.
He does say it weird.
Yeah, I know.
How do you say
I
it?
Knew it.
How do you say it?
He speaks like a normal person.
Abigail.
How do you say it?
Abigail.
I go by Abby mostly, but
really, we've always called you Abigail. Why do we do that?
That's my name in the Discord.
That makes sense. So should we call you Abby?
It doesn't matter.
All right, Abby.
Abby. Okay.
She
brought us some reviews. To read
some
of
these reviews about our show.
Yeah, I brought them myself.
You know what? Here's what I hate about comments and reviews. And this, we talked about it in an earlier episode. Tim's was like, yeah, dude, I saw this stuff brush off me. And I'm like, yeah, because the mean stuff is about me, dude. They don't say mean stuff about you. No, not a single review is like
that's
that.
That's what
idiot.
The Discord is for.
Yeah, that's
what they say some mean things about me in the Discord.
And I make them pay to do it.
That's why
for
we
$5
do.
A month, you can make fun of Tim.
Yeah,
all you want.
It's worth it. All right.
His parents are rock solid, though. There's nothing that's going to tear them apart. All right, read these reviews.
All right, 5 stars. Hello. Name is Caleb. I'm 13 years old, and I love this show so much. So funny all the time. I have heard every single episode, and they're also good. Used the wrong there. I heard about this podcast from my friend Kale and said we would love a shout out.
Oh, hey.
From Caleb the Axolotl.
Caleb the Axolotl.
And your friend Kale.
I don't know. That's spelled weird. C-A-E-L.
Is Kale your friend or is that just you without the B?
That's exactly. What? No.
Kale. Caleb.
It's, the E is Kale. Before the L, not after the L.
Kale.
So, Kale. Anyway. Well, shout out to both of you or one of you. I don't know. I don't know how
many of you. I was saying Kale didn't leave a review.
Yeah, come on, Kale.
I mean, if he's 13, maybe he doesn't have, maybe his computer access.
He's got a computer.
He's got a computer.
He can access a computer.
5 stars. Kale. Annoying. They are kind of annoying, but I like them.
That was
I
cool.
I need my sleep again.
At least we got.
That was like a roller coaster.
At least we got 5 stars.
5 stars. I mean, annoying.
I mean, okay. As a long time listener, I know what I'm getting into when I watch.
As a long time listener, first time sitter, yeah. How is today
I
going
have the
for
podium.
You?
I'm on the high ground. Okay. Today. No, you guys get off top. That's why we spent the first like 5 minutes of the episode. I forgot that he told us that it was a computer.
He thought it was Jimmy John's.
I forgot how we got from sandwiches.
All right, give us another one.
5 stars.
Oh, nice.
Impressing future in-laws. Best part of my Tuesday is listening to these guys. It's the perfect blend of laughing at stupid jokes and feeling a little bit smarter after an episode. My future brother-in-law loves niche history, and thanks to this podcast, I knew exactly what the Great Emu War was when it came up in conversation. I'm not saying this podcast is the reason my in-laws accepted me, but I'm saying there's a chance. Tim and Jaren, you guys want beef or chicken at my wedding?
Chicken.
Mowgli oh, Ray.
Heck yeah, dude. Neither, actually. I'm on a kind of a specific diet. I'd love salmon and wild rice.
You come to the wedding and you make them make
I go, hi, excuse me. This is not going to work for me. Yeah. Actually, I'm a time traveler. I'm a huge bully of your future kid. And I'm here to stop this right now.
I come back into the future to be like, hey, guess what? Your parents never married, loser.
Yeah. And the kid's like, he doesn't exist.
He's like fading away.
Disintegrates. Yeah.
Pulls a Marty McFly.
Gotcha, bro.
Yeah. That's a new swirly. All right. What do we got?
3 stars.
All right. Wish hold they on. Would. Let me stop you right there. All right. No, 3 stars. 3 stars. Here's the thing. I don't like the 3-star reviews because they usually have a genuine critique.
This is the longest one yet.
Well, here's the thing. 5-star is like, we like them. Well, 1-star is like, ah, okay. I freaking hate them.
Wait till you hear the critique. Wish they would decrease the amount of laughing.
Stop. Why'd you do that right away?
I can't do it. He's incapable. This is when you take his drink away from him.
All right, let's hear the rest of it.
Just clench your jaw like this.
Why are you clenching your jaw like that?
Great hosts and concept. I really enjoyed the info they had and think the hosts are some of the funniest.
Thank you.
When trying to listen, the laughing literally overwhelms and is so close to the microphones. I ended the episode I listened to with a headache. Good. Unfortunately, they didn't stay close to the topic and just annoyed me. I only listened to the Springfield, Missouri episode, to be honest, and I'm not sure when I will attempt another listening session.
I hope it's not this one.
I am keeping my fingers crossed that the hosts are slightly further from mics and not laughing more than talking in my next listen. Honestly, I might time laughter versus talking.
I think timing, if someone wants to time the length of our laughs versus the length of... Oh, actual geez. Conversation. I would love to see those statistics.
Daniel did make a
Tillin
but
Tillin
but
Tillin,
but only the
it's
information
on topic
some point.
Off topic.
Yeah, so he takes out all the banter and
it's like eight minutes long stuff. Yeah,
and just does the serious
stuff. So short.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
we got more reviews.
A few more.
Yeah, oh, there's, wow. There's a
three stars.
One I like.
Laugh track or bust. Really wanted to like it.
So what is it?
I would love less to have laughs, a laugh track.
More laughs.
I would love this show with a laugh track.
I know, but how do they still give you three stars? They were like, I wanted to like it.
Yeah, it's fine.
One star. Terrible. The commentary is silly and the research is superficial. If you are an academic and like to research, I doubt you would enjoy this useless. No, you. I would. I doubt you would enjoy this unless you like frat boy reflections.
Frat boy.
Yeah, you and me, the two frattiest guys I know.
If you're an academic.
That means conspiracy theorist. 100%. The person who wrote that listened to one alien episode and was like, this is clearly not for us.
Their name is Kimber Dancer.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Yep.
Where do you think they're from?
One more star.
I'm going to find it.
It says U.S.
So okay, I'm going to find it.
That narrows it down a little bit.
Find him.
Another one star?
Yep. Hey, dummies. Do some research. You're sounded like idiots on the Frank Abagnale.
Abagnale.
He didn't spell it right. Show. Basically, everything he's done has been proven false. A simple Google search would show that. Isn't that the whole point? Did he not finish the episode?
A simple
clearly not, yeah. A simple couple more minutes would have got you there.
See, I wish they would explain that on the movie, though. There's no... You'd think
that in retrospect,
at the end, they would say, you know, these things are alleged, and the only person who said he's done these is him.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that until I listened to the episode.
That was a great twist.
Yeah, it was.
I think I did a good job storytelling that episode.
Sure. Sure.
It was that, and then...
Well, it's kind of like at the end of the Titanic. I wish they would have said, hey, that lady's not real, by the way.
Hey, the boat didn't sink.
Yeah.
We made the whole thing up.
We made it up, but still go to the museum. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this one, or if you don't like this one, there's so many other ones. All right. If you're halfway through this one and you're like, I hate this, I want out, go check out the Richmond TV Vigilante. It's an episode we did a while ago. It's a little bit of a shorter one, but one morning in Richmond, Virginia, these people wake up with just TVs on their front porch. No idea where they came from until one person checked their Ring doorbell footage and got a decent surprise. So Richmond TV Vigilante is a great episode if you're going to go check that out later. But for now, back to this one.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online. It's flexible. It's convenient. And it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So he graduates college and he starts a sandwich restaurant.
Stop.
So he got into Bitcoin in the early years of Bitcoin.
Right.
A founder.
Did some mining, did some coding for it, but it was kind of like at that time, Bitcoin was useless. Like it was actually useless.
Worth 30 cents.
When we say useless, like 0.00001 cents or what's the...
It was as valuable as like money in RuneScape or Club Penguin. Like it was not...
Let's look at
it
the
was
real.
Like a Stanley nickel.
Say, hold on. Let's look at the exchange rate, though.
Yeah.
$60 to 1 million coins in RuneScape right now. I looked it up literally 2 days ago.
So cool.
Well, whatever. And so, like, I hope my high school bully hears
this. I was going to say, I'm coming out to your parents.
My parents, watch out. My parents are fine.
Who are you trying to convince?
Work. You didn't pull it off.
So, yeah, there's got to be like a real, what is that? You know, 60 cents to a million? That's like 0.00.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess technically you could trade it in for some money, but it was pretty.
It's made up.
Pretty not valuable at the
time. Yeah.
It's still made up. It's just worth more to people.
All I mean, the same is true with real money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
But at least there's a physical...
Well, that's what I think about. Like, I thought about, like, I don't want to even give a specific country, but in third world countries where, like, they're literally, like, $200,000.
Yeah.
Is nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just reset it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just... Chop off the zero, right?
It's our fault.
$2. Yeah.
Because we made ourselves the global exchange currency. So now it's everything has to be able to exchange
in
to
relation
US dollar.
To the dollar. But we're not even...
And we say, oh, we'll only give you $1 for
We're not even on the gold standard anymore, right?
No,
so even the dollars are just...
It's all imaginary.
It's all made
And because
up.
We're at the top...
Oh,
and we
don't
have
go
the
too
most,
far down there. You'll have a panic attack.
Well, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
you'll
fry
the heck out.
I work in the finance world.
Where do you work?
I do accounting.
Yeah, what's the address?
I work from home. You already have my address.
What are your like account names, passwords?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What's your pet's
name? No, it's
B33F@$0.
You know all that. Those are all my passwords.
Well, your password is beef. So.
How'd you know? Oh gosh, now I gotta change them.
Oh, so shoot.
One.
Yeah, I just bought that domain name.
No, but like if you look at a stock though, like, you know, Apple stock, there's a real company that exists that you know, the company's doing well, this is worth a bunch.
Yeah.
Whereas Bitcoin is just like, oh, this
there's
group of people has decided to believe in it. So
sure.
It's
absolutely, yeah. It's definitely speculative. Yeah.
They decide its value arbitrarily. Exactly.
I mean, arbitrarily. Is that
Tim,
what
Tim's
the opposite
Bitcoin
of arbitrarily?
I mean,
I'm
that
not
does
a Bitcoin
not surprise
believer.
Me. How much do you own Bitcoin?
Technically, yes. I don't know where it is though.
It's under my mattress.
You need to hop on the Mog coin train right now. It's worth 0.000.
Did you say mom coin?
Mog emoji. Mog? You know, like half man, half dog. I'm a Mog.
Oh, interesting.
It's a Spaceballs reference for the educated.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've heard of this. Not the coin, but Spaceballs.
Okay. His name is Barf. Half man, half dog. Yep. I'm my own best friend.
So Jimmy Johns, he bought a lot of Bitcoin. Or didn't buy. He mined a lot of Bitcoin. Kind of forgot about it for a little bit. Went on with college.
Okay.
And had a better experience in college than he had in high school. Because like, college is a little different than high school. You don't have bullies,
and
really.
Your parents are already
bullies can't afford to go.
Yeah, you're mostly adults now. And so like everyone's, you know, I mean, you might not get along with everybody, but you're not getting shoved in lockers. Or people are forcing your parents to divorce.
I was going to say, they're already divorced.
Yeah, your parents are already divorced. You can't. Yeah, so he's having a better experience in college, but marginally better experience.
Okay.
He's still kind of lonely, but he's not being bullied. So it's better.
Still no friends, not being bullied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Towards the end of his college career, though, Bitcoin starts to go on the rise. And he's like, oh, where is my Bitcoin? And so he starts trying to track that down. He can't track it down. So he says, instead of...
Trying to find mine. It's going
to
take somebody else's.
Well, he starts mining again. He's still early enough where a year later, it kind of popped off. And then next thing he knows, like he had mined a significant chunk of Bitcoin that was now worth like $70,000.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, this will make me popular. And so...
Okay.
Oh, God. Having money or having Bitcoin? Because those are
money.
So
this is legitimately earned Bitcoin that he's mining. And so like he sets up a rig that's capable of mining a lot of Bitcoin. This is early Bitcoin. There's not a lot of competition for this. And so he's able to get a lot of Bitcoin from his mining efforts. And so he's starting to actually develop a pretty serious income from mining Bitcoin. And so he starts throwing big parties and paying for everything. And people are coming and hanging out with him because he's the money guy. Like, you know those people who are just like,
yes,
you like me because I'm rich, you know?
Yeah, I have a hot tub.
You're inflatable.
No, I was like rocking with you. I was like, yeah. That's how I got all my friends.
My life. All my friends hang out with me because of my hot tub.
Yeah. I got a hot mommy waiting at home because I because of my money.
Because of the money.
I'm going to call her that tonight. Hey, hot mommy.
She's gonna think you're calling her some combination of like mom and Harambe. She will not understand.
Yikes. And so he
Harambe.
Okay.
And so he's just kind of living this cycle where he's earning a lot of Bitcoin and then blowing it all on these huge parties.
For sure.
And he's living the life. Like when I say parties, like he is like renting limos and paying for everybody's drinks and going to the bar and buying drinks
he's
for everybody
out
in the
entire
bar.
Local high school theater productions.
Yeah. Shrek's musical.
For him and all his friends.
And so he turns into a bit of a party aminal. Mm-hmm. He develops a bit of an alcohol problem. Here's a photo from this series, from these years of him hanging out
Jones.
At a club with alcohol. And his life quickly turns from him being a lonely guy to the kind of guy who has a lot of friends that he's paying to have.
Yeah.
And eventually his group
Why'd you show that picture?
Just gets larger and larger and larger of all these people who...
Hanging out with him to do all the fun stuff that he pays for.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the time he graduates college, he's literally chartering private jets and flying all of his friends out to LA.
How much Bitcoin is he mining?
Giving them $10,000 budgets to go on Rodeo Drive and buy whatever they want. And so like he is like living a high life party lifestyle, paying for a bunch of friendships basically.
Okay.
And during this season of his life, he gets into a lot of party paraphernalia or drugs. Drugs is probably a better term for that.
Yeah, just call them drugs.
And so one of his favorites was cocaine. Okay. And so he starts doing a lot of cocaine. One night he was at a Jimmy John's. I think he literally was at a Jimmy John's.
Everything is connected. I feel better about myself now.
And okay. He's talking to this group of girls, telling them, hey, I have $30,000 worth of cocaine at my place if you guys want to come over. The table behind him is an off-duty police officer.
Nice.
Ooh. So he texts his buddy who's on duty.
He's like, hey,
want to come hang out?
I'm going to try to hang out with this guy real quick.
Yeah.
And so they show up and lo and behold, he did have some on his possession. So he catches a felony for that. Doesn't go to jail, but he does catch a felony. So he graduates college. And he continues living this lifestyle.
Sure.
He buys a pretty modest home, like what's described as a bungalow. So it's like a two-bedroom, two-bath, like one-story house. Does buy himself a nice BMW. And he lives there for a couple years and throwing huge parties, living the life.
In a two-bedroom, two-bath?
Yeah.
Huge parties?
Yeah.
All right.
They don't have to party at the house.
Yeah, he's not. He's
They're flying
people.
To,
yeah.
You know...
Private jets going to Vegas,
right,
going to New York, paying
Cancun.
For everybody at the bar.
going to New
Cuba,
York and then
Cancun.
What is it? You go to Vegas and then you fly into time so you can do
oh,
New Year's
for the,
twice.
For the New
yeah.
Year's? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he does this for years.
Why'd you do
and
that?
It works out really... I think it's just the caffeine.
Yeah.
He literally just went, Okay.
I'm just trying to... My
it's
eyeballs
the cocaine.
Were slipping. I was trying to...
You said he was a Bitcoin guy,
just straighten
right?
him up That's a little just, bit.
We know what he's spending it on.
So he does this for years. He actually gets into kind of brokerage almost. So people who want to invest in Bitcoin, he goes and buys the Bitcoin on behalf of them and then moves it for yep. them. And so he becomes like a Bitcoin investor. And he makes millions doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately.
Is he paying his taxes?
Yes. He's doing everything by the book. He's doing this legitimately.
Except for the cocaine.
There is some of that stuff that's illegal.
So,
but other than the illegal stuff, everything he's doing
everything by the book except for the things he's not doing by the book.
Sure.
You got that right.
All right.
Like you haven't broken a few laws.
Oh,
yeah, let's
every
be
time
real.
People are like, let's do a get to know you.
Yeah.
You know, has anybody ever done anything illegal? I immediately raise my hand and they look at me and I go, jaywalking. And they're
true.
I jaywalk all the time.
Did you get arrested for it?
No. I had a roommate in college who went to school in like New Jersey and the campus like police officers would hide in bushes and give kids tickets.
Shut up.
Yeah,
for jaywalking.
Hide in bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a cop.
In like a freaking like
no
ghillie suit.
It's like the campus police, whoever it was.
Yeah.
Besides,
that
this
was
New Jersey.
You know how many college campuses I have parking tickets
Delaware.
On? Like, I'm not going to pay that.
Yeah,
like,
you
what
ain't
you
ever
do?
Getting this.
Yeah, oh, you arrest me? Oh, great. One of my favorite things when I was working at a church was the icebreakers, where you would do these ice, you know, do
that's
like
what
the, you're all in the circle and you do like the never have I ever things.
Oh, yeah.
But you get like, you know what I'm talking about? That game where you, there's like one less chair. So the person in the middle has to be like, I've never eaten at Chipotle. And then anybody who hasn't eaten Chipotle has to stand up and go find another chair. And there's one person left. My favorite was one guy in the middle goes, I've been arrested. And we look around and nobody then one girl stands up. And then they have to switch seats.
Nice.
And now she's in the middle. And then we were like, and it's the person you would not have expected.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you go, do you want to explain or do you want to just keep playing the game?
That's why when they ask, have you ever done anything illegal? I always raise my hand because then people are like, no, you know.
Nah, what she did was, though, she killed somebody. I was kidding. I was kidding. Allegedly, though. Allegedly.
I mean, she's not in jail anymore. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
She's seen that video of that girl who's driving drunk and like killed two people.
Yes. And
but
was
then
just,
is like,
in, okay, I'm going to school the next day.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to be at school in the morning. Where's my car? Yeah. And they're like, you're not going to school tomorrow. And she's like, I got to go to school tomorrow.
I'm going to fail.
Yeah. Did not
understand.
Like,
oh my gosh. I have an unpaid jaywalking ticket on campus. I got to go get it taken
pay
care
that
of.
Ticket.
Wasn't she in like high school? Yikes. Not even college. Yeah, like she was ridiculous. High school.
Jeez.
Real weird video. Anyway.
He's doing things legitimately. He meets a guy in Memphis, Tennessee who wants to get into real estate development, has an idea for like a multi story apartment building in downtown, like a big apartment complex. And so he agrees to fund that venture for the student
in Memphis.
And they're both young guys. They're like
big,
24.
Popular city of Memphis.
Yeah. They're both like 24. Jimmy is like, yeah, $32 million. I'll give you $32 million for this. And so they start working on this project, and it takes years for it to kind of get off the ground. And finally, when he's 28, like they're making the moves and actually pulling it off. And so he's going and working on starting to actually pull some of the funds from the Bitcoin to do this, because he has a lot of money in Bitcoin at this point from his mining and trading and stuff like that. But he's living off of a lot less than what he has.
Sure.
Which is still a lot. Right. Estimates say he probably had earned somewhere in like $70 million worth of Bitcoin legitimately during these years. But he only was pulling out a couple hundred thousand at a time to go party and be a crazy kid. He's 28 in 2019, I believe. He was out on one of these benders, gone for like a week doing the party thing. Comes home to realize his house was broken into. And so he calls 911 and he's like, hey, my house was robbed. I've been gone for like a week. And they're like, okay, what was stolen? And he said, they didn't steal anything except for a briefcase in my house. And they're like, okay, where was the briefcase? And he said, it was in the vents.
Nice. That's where I had my briefcases.
And they're like, that's interesting. What was in the briefcase? And he was like, a USB drive with some personal information and $400,000 cash. And they were like, interesting. We should call the FBI.
That's why you buy a two-bedroom, two-bath bungalow so people don't know you're rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Go into your, crawl into your vents. And
so,
well, but I mean, if someone steals a briefcase from the vents, like
they knew
it was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like opening a storage unit and taking a bunch of snack cakes. Like, you know, that's premeditated.
You knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of freaks out after this and he's like, well, I can't stay here anymore. So he pulls out some extra cash from his Bitcoin wallet and buys like a multi-million dollar house on Lake Lanier.
Oh.
Mm.
And he dies there. He's out on a boat and it sinks in the middle of the night.
Oh, he dies on Lake Lanier?
Broken half.
Broken half. And then he floated on the side, like there was a piece of wood that he drifted on.
There was
on.
Enough room for two people.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and it was freezing cold. He froze to death on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He could have swam to shore. It was like 13
what
feet.
What actually happened, Tim? Quit doing the bit.
No, yeah. Coin. So he did move into a really big house on Lake Lanier. Got this crazy security system built. And actually over the next couple of years was like a resource for the police. Whenever there was crimes, they would call him and he'd be like,
he'd be like,
let me think really hard.
Yeah, I think this person did it.
Check the vents.
I'm what do you mean? Sure he became a resource for them.
Just they, when there's he would crime give them happening, money?
He would go, yeah, I got a feeling.
Yeah.
I'll pay for that.
Yeah, that's well close. Okay. No, he just had a really good security system on his property.
So
they would use his cameras to catch criminals in the area, I guess. I don't know how many criminals there were. How good were
the
cameras?
Are there like drones in the whole city?
Part of the lake did he live in?
Yeah,
how close are crimes being committed to his mansion?
These are legitimate questions that I don't have a legitimate answer to.
Okay.
But all I know is him and the police developed a pretty close relationship. Meanwhile, the IRS is investigating him and he doesn't know this. Whenever he called the police, it was like, I'm missing $400,000. Mm-hmm. The IRS is like, why do you have $400,000 cash?
Yeah.
Because this guy is technically speaking unemployed, but he's making a lot of money. And so they're like, this is interesting. What's going on here?
Is he getting unemployment? He's collecting that $400 a month.
I mean, he's probably filed as an investor is probably how he's filed his taxes.
Yeah.
But he's they're like this is an interesting thing to just have $400,000 in a briefcase in your fence. Sure. So they're investigating him and he has no idea. The local police hits a dead end on his case. And so he hires a private investigator to try to track down the person who stole the money from him. So he's working with this private investigator and the local sheriff a little bit. And eventually the private investigator is like, we should talk to the FBI. And so then the FBI gets involved and he continues talking with the FBI and they're kind of in this back and forth working together for months and months trying to track down who stole his $400,000 and USB with personal information on it. Personal information.
Yeah, his codes for his Bitcoin wallets.
It's interesting seeing, I watched an interview with this private investigator and she was like, well, they never caught the guy who stole the briefcase.
Okay.
They assume it's someone that he knew.
Right.
And they are fairly confident that everybody he knew was just using him for their money. Right.
Sure.
And the parties and all this stuff.
Right.
He was buying them stuff all the time. Yeah. And so they're like, it could have been literally anybody he knew.
Sure.
Nobody he had was a real friend.
Right.
And so they never tracked that down. But then the IRS calls the FBI and it's like, hey, can we come see what's going on there? And they're
like,
can
we come meet this guy?
Yeah, pretty much. And so,
hey, IRS, do you think if we get down there, will he sign something for me?
Oh, God.
We're just really impressed with him. And so the IRS
shows up. And like, we love your sandwich shop.
This investigator, the FBI investigator, takes the two IRS agents and shows up at his door one day and is like, hey, we're looking into your case still. We're trying to track them down. I got two investigators from Washington out here with me and we want to take a closer look.
I didn't tell him it was the IRS.
Yeah, he's like, can we take a look around? Like, we just want to come and ask you a few more questions and see some stuff to help us with our investigation. And so they sit down in the living room and they kind of just, you know, chop it up with him for like a half an hour or so. And so they ask him how he made all his money. They're complimenting his house and all this stuff. And then finally, like they gained some good
entrapment
with him. And they're like, hey, can you give us a tour of the house? And so I gave him a full tour of his house, told him all about.
He's like, okay. And you don't even need to move. You just literally just see it all from just turning around. Be like, the bedroom's over here. The second one's right here. There's the bathroom.
He's in a mansion now.
He's in a like.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. I forgot.
Yeah, we talked about some of the stuff.
Well, you still want to move, though. He's got those little like hoverboard things that you just stand on and it moves you around the house.
He's got one of those like big closet pantries that he converted into his
camera
room. That
he's got
can
one
see
of those
the
robot butler
lake.
Ladies who's like, hello, everything is above board
now,
here.
They're called.
She's like, hello, Jimmy calls me mom.
What'd you say?
Those are Rombies.
Rombies. Gosh, it was right there.
Right there.
That's funny. I was going to make that joke in a few seconds.
Yeah, you weren't you?
She just beat me to it.
It sucks, doesn't it?
Jeez.
Because they're vacuum.
It wasn't that funny. It wasn't funny.
Rombies, you know, Roombas. Okay. It was right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just keep going.
you're enjoying it and you're enjoying Tillin, you've been around for a little bit, I want to invite you to be a part of our Patreon. We have a Patreon that has early access to all of our episodes, ad-free content, both audio and video. We have a Discord with our hosts and producers. That's a ton of fun getting to hang out with all of our patrons in there. We also do once a month now, we do these live streams with our patrons. We hang out, we get to know each other, we eat pizza. It's a blast, along with a bunch of other benefits like merch discounts, message on your birthday, like fun stuff. It's definitely worth it. We're having a blast with our patrons. But if that doesn't sound like something for you, then get the heck out of here. Just kidding. No, we love you. Thanks for checking out Tillin Podcast. How do they get it though? I realized I forgot to put a CTA in mine.
Oh, damn! You were doing gum it.
Yeah,
they can text Tillin to 66866.
Thanks, Jaren. I just want you to rest on that for a
okay.
moment. I just want you to.
Tim is enjoying Jaren being humbled.
So he gives them a full tour.
I don't know
house.
If I'd say humble. Okay, I don't know if that's what I would say is going on here. I don't think we would go that far.
Okay. My apologies.
So he gives them a full tour of the house, and he shows them his the security bins. Room, shows them all the information about all the security systems.
They're like, we don't care about any of this.
Yeah.
Well, they want to go to the tube. They went because the vent was the old place.
The vent was at the old place.
Then he moved. Okay. Yeah. Well, now which there's is, bigger and better vents, right?
Which probably should have teed them off that they're not looking into this case, but it didn't.
Okay.
And so he's guiding them around the house, and then finally they get into like a server room. And they're like, what's this? He's like, oh, this is my mining rig. And then they're like, oh, can we see it? And he's like, sure. And so he opens up a laptop and he's like, hold on. He's like, you guys can't look at my passcode.
Yeah.
And so he's got to memorize.
He's over here going, R0ASTB33F.
He says it out loud. Yeah.
He can't type. He's just.
Yep.
The one finger type. And so he types in his password and then he turns the computer around to show that he's got like
$1 million in
Bitcoin. Of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, that's interesting. And so they, wearing body cams, now have enough information to say he's got a secret server room in his house that has a lot of Bitcoin on it. There is
But you're saying he's doing this all illegally.
Illegal,
I thought he was paying
though?
His taxes.
I mean,
were you lying earlier?
No, I wasn't lying. But I have buried the lead. And so there's a flamethrower on the wall in his house.
Wait. Why did you say it like that? I've buried the lead. So there's a flamethrower on the wall of his house.
Was he personal friends with Elon Musk?
Maybe.
Seems like a
I don't know how else you get a flamethrower.
They saw on
I've
that
got
screen.
One. I don't know him.
On the wall of your house?
I don't have it displayed.
I'm not showing.
Gaudy. Got it. Yeah,
is it in your vent?
I got a wife. She won't let me put that up on the wall.
No, yeah, I hid mine in my dryer.
Do you not use your dryer?
No, yeah, I prefer my clothes wet.
Where do you hide money in your house? That's a real question.
He doesn't have any money.
where do you hide the cash in your house?
I don't. You use cash?
Uh-huh.
Do you put it
When's
in the freezer?
The last time you use cash?
We use cash when we save for like we're going to Cancun in December.
Nice.
Oh, I have separate accounts for that.
With we're not really paying for it. It's one of our friends who's like
nice.
super rich.
Yeah.
But no, we use cash. We just pull cash out because we don't want to spend it. We don't want to put it somewhere and hide it somewhere.
Yeah, you just have a separate account for stuff like that.
We only actually have three cats. One of them is just where we put all our money.
Yeah.
It's the fourth one. He's just a fake one. I go, we just open his smile and go,
roll up a lot of cash.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the best system, but it works for us. You
know? It works out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of messy when we have to collect.
The Dave Ramsey way.
Is it?
That's what Dave says.
Hide your money in a fake cat.
Well, he says you want to put your money, if you're saving, you want to put it somewhere where it's difficult to get it back.
Yeah, well, I mean if you want to make real cat, you just,
that's some cat.
That seems more difficult.
That's
to
some
me
cat
than,
flow right there. Cat. So anyway. Oh,
so yeah, so they have evidence on their body cams that he's got millions of dollars in a Bitcoin account. On the body cams. They also have evidence that he has a flamethrower on the wall, a really pretty intense security system, and a couple other rifles.
What are they worried that if they did a raid on his house?
Did the FBI not have all that information already?
They had a hunch about him, but they've had enough. They now have enough information.
But
where
he
they can,
invited the FBI guy into his home and showed him the flame flower on his
flame flower.
Wow, how's it feel to be humbled? So anyway,
I wouldn't know.
The
well,
idea
what I'm saying is like, if they're gonna raid his house, what are they like? He's got a flamethrower. Like, we have tanks. Who cares?
They
like, you're welcome.
Just bomb it. Just bomb his house. they have a hunch about him, but they don't have enough evidence for them to be able to get a warrant.
But like, I don't understand why if he knew that the FBI hadn't arrested him yet, why he would invite him into his house and be like, "Here's my flamethrower." Because
he thinks they're
wall.
Helping try to find that $400,000.
I guess yeah,
that's
that
what
doesn't
he thinks is happening.
Does he not know how the law works?
No.
Clearly not.
I think he does, but I think he thinks he's
above
in the clear.
Right. We're buddies now.
I don't know if I would say above, but I think he thinks he's fine. I think he doesn't realize that there's something.
If you ever invite the FBI into your home, hide your flamethrower.
I think he doesn't think there's anything he's done wrong. Yeah, I think he doesn't.
The
FBI
stops at my house.
At what point
week?
Did the SEC regulate all of the stuff about holding, you know, Bitcoin and having a bunch of money that, you know, you weren't?
I think it was after this.
Yeah.
But like, what's wrong with this?
Right.
Tell us the list.
So the FBI had a hunch on him.
He stole the wallet.
No.
His own briefcase of $400,000. He stole his own.
The reason they were doing this is to get a warrant. So they got the warrant. They were able to then come. And what they did, this is really interesting. They came back a couple weeks later with a warrant. A bunch of cops hid around the corner.
Right.
Like around the block. Not around the corner, but around the block. And that FBI agent came and was like, "Hey, I just need to grab a little bit more data from you for our investigation." He's like, "Sure." And so he's like, he lets him in. They sign into the computer.
Tases him. Handcuffs him. He's like, "We got you.
We got you, loser." No, a little bit more finesse than that. Kay. What he did instead was he said, he got him to log in. Once he logged in the computer, he was like, "Hey," he's like, "View. Looks great out your balcony right now. Can we go take a look at that real
Hold
quick?
Hold on, it's not the FBI."
And so he tells him,
"It's not the FBI."
He tells him,
"It's a fake agent."
Oh, yeah.
And they go in and
steal all of it because he's
logged
in.
It's not the real FBI. It's not the IRS. It's just some. This is a heist.
They got him to steal the briefcase.
Hey, this is a good story, Tim. Look at you.
He tells him,
"Yeah."
He tells him, "Hey, let's go look outside." And so he's like, "Cool.
Let's go look outside."
And so he turns and starts walking out towards the balcony. And as he turns, the guy reaches in his pocket and slides a USB into the computer. And what it was is it's what's called a wiggler.
Never. Yeah, keeps your mouse moving. Yeah, no. Yeah, so the computer, by the time all the guys in around the block got there, the computer wouldn't have turned off the screensaver. Yeah. And so they still had access to all of his stuff because otherwise.
Yeah, this sounds like you know what this is about. What's up with that?
Okay, let me tell you. I'm not one of those people that listens to true crime podcasts.
You do listen to one true prime one, though.
That's true. Yeah. Jaren's
what
light
true
is
prime
my
prime podcast.
I gotta,
there you go.
I gotta hold up the merch. I'll hold up the
You can buy this at Tillin or shop.tillin.com or tillin.com/shop
or /merch
or
paulruddtheactor.com.
I forgot about that. I read a lot, and so it makes sense that, you know, if it's out in the open with a search warrant, they have access to it. So
yeah.
I don't know the wiggling rules.
Oh, it's
that
out
seems
in the
like,
open, so they're not having to touch the
right.
computer.
But yeah. he
but
put
no,
the wiggler
no, you're
in.
Understanding. They're not real cops.
No, I know that.
Yeah, so he put the wiggler in so the computer won't lock.
Either way,
it also
they
starts
need
playing
access to the computer.
Fruit salad.
Like the game or the song?
The song. He plugs it in. And, and Jimmy's like, "Do you hear Fruit Salad by the Wiggles?" He's like, "No, I don't hear anything." It's a weird side effect that they put into the program that really like hurts the sleuth ability of it. But, you know, whatever. It's a side effect. So they go out on the balcony. They sit down on the balcony and they're looking out at the view. And he's like, "Man, this is a great view."
This is
and
a Jimmy's long like, con.
Jimmy's like, "Yeah, it is, isn't it?" And he's like, "Jimmy, I got to tell you something." And Jimmy's like, "What?"
"You're being robbed."
Yeah. And he says, "Jimmy," he says, "you're under arrest." And he says, we've been not looking into the robbery that was committed against you. We've actually been looking into the robbery that you committed. And Jimmy turns around and looks inside and there's
people.
Like 50 cops in his living room going into
50
into the
dudes
house.
In cop costumes.
Okay.
And so
are they real cops?
So They take him. They take him to jail.
They're not real cops.
And
they're real cops.
Fake
yeah,
jail.
They take him to jail. They're real cops. That's an interesting idea, but it's not the truth.
Maybe it was the IRS guys.
So they took him.
Should we do that?
I mean,
should we do that?
Should
to somebody?
We give that a try?
People are good. Okay.
Should we do that with somebody?
You guys try this? Don't look like cops.
I think we.
Well, first of all, I absolutely look like a cop. Okay, I absolutely look like a police officer.
That guy's a cop.
No, multiple times, like people have said, like that guy's an undercover cop.
Except for the fact that you're a comedian. Is that your cover? That you're a comedian?
That's the truth.
Yeah,
all cops.
Right, but I'm saying like Uber passengers.
Yeah,
half thought I was an undercover cop.
Interesting.
When we were on Hollywood Boulevard, one of the street performers like grabbed one of the other street performers and pointed straight at me and went,
"Do you have
that
great
guy's a cop?
Do you have great posture?"
I do have great posture.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. All cops have just such good posture. That's a copster.
I stand like this all the time.
Yeah, that's a police.
It's the belt.
They got the thumbs in the vest.
In the vest, yeah. The FBI
showed up and they were like, "Fiddle off, dude."
Namely, the IRS has been investigating this case since 2013. They arrested a guy named Ross Ulbricht.
Oh wow, they were following him for a minute.
Yeah. So, well, not him. So, in 2013, October 1st, 2013, they arrested a guy named Ross Ulbricht, who went by the username Dread Pirate Roberts.
Nice.
He founded a little dark web site, a website on the dark web called the Silk Road. And the Silk Road was a ubiquitous dark website for years where...
That's like setting yourself up to fail. The Silk Rug.
Silk Road.
As soon as somebody arrested him, they're like, "Oh, the rug pulled out from beneath you, isn't it?" Like, that's just...
Silk Road.
Okay, yeah. That's different.
But as soon as he got arrested, they were like, "Huh, you chose that road." You know, it works.
It still works.
You still got to have a good like detective line when you get somebody.
But that's why would you think about that when you create, like, you know, you're creating a dark website. You're not, you don't
I'm
have
sorry,
to.
I only use light mode.
You don't have to. You can take the time to think about it before you name it something like the Silk Road.
I mean, the Silk Road's kind of a cool name for it.
I mean,
though,
that's just stealing the actual Silk Road.
Silk Road was eBay for illegal stuff.
Nice.
And so it was drugs and hackerware and
kidneys,
guns, and just anything stolen and illegal was on the site, and it was all done with Bitcoin.
Oh.
And nice. What you would do, what the...
You think that lady posted my hats on there?
Probably.
The one that stole your box? Yeah,
now,
probably.
The FBI seized the site after they arrested him.
Oh, wow.
And now they operate it.
Nice. Entrapment.
That is entrapment.
We got some stolen stuff.
That's entrapment. They also missed the opportunity to call it Steel Pay.
Steel Pay.
Yeah, check out our pop-up shop. And so they... the way they did it was kind of clever because Bitcoin, every time a transaction happens through Bitcoin, it goes into a blockchain and you can track everything happened. Well, what they did is they did a thing called mixing. So every time money went through this site, it mixed everybody's money together. And so it was like, here's a whole bunch of transactions. And it was still technically traceable, but it was such a jumbled mess that it would be nearly impossible to track where each of those individual coins came from.
That makes sense.
And so they mixed it all up. It was money laundering, but digitally.
Digital laundry.
Yeah. Just like Neopets. They had clothes, right?
Tell the story, Tim. Tell the story.
And so our friend, Jimmy, when he was in college and developed that cocaine habit, he was like, "Hey, this would be a great place to get cocaine."
Yeah.
And so he started purchasing cocaine.
On Steel Bay.
On Silk Road. And so he's buying this cocaine. He doesn't do it for long because he realizes that his local dealer had better stuff than what he could order online.
But that was his downfall.
Well,
cocaine.
One day, the way it worked is you would deposit all your funds in, you'd make your purchase, and then you'd withdraw whatever leftover funds that you had. And so you kind of left them on your account just to make the purchase, then you pull them out. Well, they'd get mixed in, and then you'd pull them out, and then it was theoretically untraceable. One day, he's on that site, and he goes withdraw, and he just kind of like flinches or something and double clicks and realizes that it double withdraw. So he got
twice as much money as he was supposed to.
And he was like, that's interesting. And so he tries it. He makes a deposit and he double clicks again and it works. And so he's like,
wow.
I know how that goes.
And so he sits down and he starts doing the some investigation.
Old double click.
And so
that's not, this isn't a heist. This is an accident. This is a wiggle 2.0. Hmm. Wow. If only it were that easy. Oh, well.
I figured there's with Coke rewards too. I would type in the thing. And if you double click redeem, you get double twice. The Coke rewards. We bought an RV that way.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. So he invests, or I shouldn't say invests, he invests some time to figure out how much Bitcoin is actually in the Silk Road. Because it can only pull so what's there. Like it has, the money has to exist for him to be able to pull it. He figures out there's about $50,000 in Bitcoin in that site. And so he makes a deposit and then he just
clicks
a whole bunch up to where he withdraws the entire site's worth of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And then he's like, sweet, I got a bunch of Bitcoin. Well, Ross Ulbricht finds out about this.
And he's like, hey.
Let me steal a briefcase. And let me check out your fence.
Here's the thing. It mixed everything up. And so it still got mixed. It was still hard to trace. But Ross was able, because obviously he's like, all my money's gone on my site.
Right.
He was able to follow all of those chains and realize they all went back to a common place.
Yeah.
And was like,
because it's the same wallet address. When he should have been smarter about that.
And so he tracked this guy down and he reached out to him and was like, hey.
Let's be friends.
He was like, hey, thanks for finding that vulnerability on my site. Could you tell me like how you did that? And he told him, he told him how he did it. And he actually sent Jimmy an extra 5,000 Bitcoin for exposing this vulnerability.
Wow.
To
thanks
fix
for
it.
Stealing from me, man. Here's $5,000.
And so
we need better criminals today.
He takes that money, that Bitcoin.
Did he like give him the code about it?
Well, no, he says, I mean, it got patched.
Okay.
So that wasn't an actual vulnerability anymore, but he's got a lot of Bitcoin. 50,000 Bitcoin. And so he says, well, this is worth a lot. And it looks like this is going to keep going up. And so he does the one thing he never did. And he says, I'm going to save this. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not going to party with this. Because he's got a lot of legitimate Bitcoin he can party with. And so he takes the whole motherboard out of that computer, wraps it in a towel.
Oh boy.
And puts it in one of those Christmas popcorn containers.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Where do you hide your money?
Yeah.
And he hid it.
I'll tell you where we hide our money.
Yeah, where is it?
He hesitated.
It's in his cat. It's in the fourth cat.
Yeah, he did already tell us about that.
The fourth cat. And so he hides that away.
Why do you think Lenny's so fat?
That makes sense. It's all coming together now.
He's a pillow pet. He opened up the stuff.
That's where he's been hiding it ever since. His dad didn't patent it right away. He just hid his money in there and then.
And so he let that.
I get more money in a Build-A-Bear.
He let that sit there. And when he did this heist, this double click heist, it was worth about $13 million that he was able to pull out of the Silk Road.
Yeah.
When he was arrested, the value of the Bitcoin on that motherboard had rose to $3.8 billion.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
Yeah, because it went up. Because it was at like $80,000 a Bitcoin.
Yeah, it went up a lot. And the FBI was like, we got to figure out how to make that ours. Here's the thing. This guy, honestly, like the majority of the money that he was spending in his everyday life, he had earned legitimately. Majority of the stuff he did, except for the drug stuff, was legal. It was kind of sad, but legal.
Yeah.
This thing was, in a weird way, it's hard to say whether or not this action was legal or not. Like, he was using a dark website that was where a lot of illegal money went through, but he didn't purchase anything illegal with this thing. He stole money from someone.
He put money in and just pulled more money out than he put in.
Yeah, who was breaking a lot of laws.
Yeah.
And so the courts were having a hard time figuring out what they could charge him with because it was none of it was real.
Yeah.
So there was no real laws against all this.
And then the guy that he ended up stealing from gave him more money. So, I mean, he was not like he was going to press charges or anything.
Yeah, that guy was, and that guy's in prison. He's not getting any of that money back. So it's not like they're going to charge him against him. So what they ended up figuring out was part of the Ross.
Cleaning it up.
Part of the Ross Ulbricht case. Whenever he got arrested, part of the terms of that was Ross had to turn over all the funds that he earned through Silk Road, which was about $9 billion. But
holy cow, dude.
He could only account for $1 billion that he turned over. And wow. So there was still $8 billion out there that the FBI was trying to track down that they said is technically theirs to seize whenever they could track it down. Okay. The issue is they were pretty confident that the majority of that Bitcoin was likely already in circulation, which is an interesting point. If you have purchased Bitcoin, there's a pretty good chance that technically speaking, under this case, belongs to the FBI, even if you obtained it legitimately because right. It passed through it's, the Silk Road. It's technically a part of this. And
that's
the FBI,
what they say about a lot of, like, you know, because art, dealing in art had to do with a lot of people, you know, you could value it whatever you wanted. And so it was clandestine. Mm-hmm. And people do the same thing with cryptocurrency because it's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. So that at any point, if the FBI could figure out that your Bitcoin was connected to the Silk Road, they could just say, hey, that's ours.
Crazy.
Which is nuts. And that's what they did with this case. So they seized $3 billion from
it's a good thing we've got that blockchain.
And what they sentenced him to a year and a day in prison, seized that $3 billion.
Year and a day?
Yeah, it's a weird sentence.
366. Great number.
Real strong sentence.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't miss his one-year party, guys.
Oh.
You get a party in jail.
Happy jail birthday.
Happy jail day to you. And then they beat the crap out of you, dude. One hit for every year you've been in there. So thankfully
he just
but it's one. From every prisoner. Right, so every it's like prisoner, at least, yeah. You know, people usually die like 7 years in.
Yeah, because that's a lot of hits.
But then how, where are all the
every
people?
Every prisoner gets seven
yeah,
hits.
Yeah, no, that, because then if all the prisoners are dead, then there's less prisoners beating you each year.
Shoot, that's a good there point. Is somebody eventually, who eventually lives.
You survive long enough.
That is true.
But then the next year, you have to punch yourself. Because like it's your duty. It's your duty as a prisoner.
Okay, so
and like the guards know if you're taking it easy, you know?
Yeah, like,
the guards watch you. They're like, no. You have to hit yourself
real
hard
punch.
If you hit yourself.
If you had to go to jail, you know, and they take care of all your food and all of you know, because you guys have talked about this before.
Yes.
Would it still be worth it if you had to endure it, just one
self-inflicted torture?
No. Whether by yourself or somebody else, but like one good punch
one
each year.
Punch.
Oh,
one good punch
a year?
Yeah.
Is it guaranteed that there will be no other punches that year?
Yeah, no, like stabs.
No,
there's one. Guaranteed,
normal,
and then like every other one is like
normal.
You could get punched right. Other days. Okay,
I'm gonna be honest with you.
I don't know. You look like a cop, so that would be real bad for you. Everybody thinks you're.
I look like a deal, what?
You, if you look like a cop, but everybody in prison is not
you
gonna.
Have a hard time.
Yeah, they're gonna think you're either
no, you're a cop. Yeah. You?
Either you're undercover or no. You turn dirty, and that's worse.
No.
I'll never tell.
That's so strange. A year and a day of prison.
Yeah, so he does prison for a year and a day. And it's interesting, the investigator, I watched a like CNN interview, and he said, you know, it's interesting. What Jimmy did was he kind of accidentally stole from Ross Ulbricht. But if he hadn't done that, and we seized that Bitcoin when we arrested Ross Ulbricht, we would have seized $13 million. But because of what Jimmy did, we seized $3.8 billion. So he kind of helped us out a lot.
Yeah. Where's that money?
That's so annoying. But it's like super helpful that he did that.
But it's so, like we're so thankful for his crimes. So now he's
so anyway,
actually,
I got to get on my boat.
He's served his...
yeah.
You're in he a daily served his sentence. He got out and now he's a Lyft driver in Georgia.
No really. Way.
Yeah, because I mean, he can't get do Bitcoin anymore. All that's gone. His real estate investments dried up because obviously.
What about Memphis?
Yeah, so that guy got screwed in the deal because he had already like started making the moves because
the
money
the
was going to come.
Ooh.
But yeah, and then yeah, so yeah, he kind of got caught with the bag. So that was a pretty big bummer. So this is an interesting story because it's hard for me to say that this guy was a criminal. I think. Like, that's what I said. I said he didn't realize he did anything wrong. Because like he stole from an illegal place.
What about the cocaine though?
The
what
cocaine about he being knew, at the illegal he already got
place.
A felony. Yeah. He got a felony for the cocaine. And like, yeah, being on the Silk Road probably was bad, but at this point, it's been like seven years since that all happened.
The actual stealing of the money, I really can't fault him for because he just double clicked and then the guy gave him $5,000 for it. So yeah. Like,
the guy thanked him for it. So yeah. It's like, he can't get in trouble. He's like, I don't think he thought he could get in trouble for that anymore. Yeah. I think he was just like, I'm going to let that grow as big as I can let that grow. And at some point I'm going to pull that out, but I'm just going to let that grow.
Yeah. That's interesting. What everything it, else what he did was limitations on like theft.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know, that's a good question.
Cause like if you steal, let's say $100,000,
yeah,
and you just dump it into the stock market, right?
Yeah.
And then the statute of limitations run out on your theft. So that's like 80 years later.
And I think it depends on the value.
Can you still pull that out?
Cause I think that's the thing is like the FBI really went through a lot of hoops to figure out how they could seize that money. Cause yeah. They were like, that's a lot of money. We need that.
Sure.
I think if it's enough money, they're going to be like, we got to figure out a way to make that ours. Yeah, we got to figure out how to. I gotta figure out how to make money off this.
We thought about doing. We thought about just killing him. He lives at Lake Lanier.
He lives at Lake Lanier. That's where we kill most of the people.
Yeah, they could have killed him. They could have. He lives at
Lake. Just fiddled him off.
Hey, thanks for watching this episode of Things I Learned Last Night. If you like our show, please subscribe so you don't miss any more in the future. And then we've also got like clips and other episodes and a bunch of other stuff that we've created. We've been doing this show for a long time, but we're glad that you're here now. So please go enjoy our other stuff. Or if you hated us, please just block us. I know, never come back. Never be here again. I never want to hear from you.